This is a Hot Pie original.
Hey, y'all, I'm so excited. We have a winner. So two things right quick up top. One, we have a winner to the contest of the free habit coaching session. So stick around to the end when I announce the winner. I'm so excited to do this. And there will be more giveaways coming. Two, I got a really great question from someone on social media, and I'm going to answer that too today. So stick around to the end when I get to that. Hi, and welcome to the Amy Edwards Show. I'm your host, Amy Edwards, and I'm stoked today. We have Aaron Alexander coming in for a conversation of the Align podcast and his book, The Align Method. And I've been a fan of his for a long time, followed him online at Align Podcast. And I'm just, I'm stoked that he's stepping in today and sharing all that he has to offer about how we can become better mentally through moving our body. Also, what other news do I have to share before we get going? Make sure and sign up for the newsletter if you haven't, amyedwards.com. And I'm just glad that you're here and we're here to transform our lives and make them rock even further. So let's get started. Hi, and welcome to the show today. I'm excited that Aaron's stepping in just a few minutes, and I have had vibrational alignment. Aligning with your, you know, what are you vibrationally aligning with? Like, that's been on my mind lately because I feel like it's almost a buzzword. Like it's out, or is it just like, that's what I'm attracting, seeing? I don't know. I feel like it's everywhere right now. Like, are you matching the vibration of what you want to attract? And I felt like I didn't understand, like, how do you do that? How do you do that? What does that mean exactly? Can you just, don't tell me just to vibrationally match it. Like, I want to know how, because that's how I operate, obviously, from the title of all my shows, how to. I'm a pragmatic and practical person. Like, don't get fluffy with your words. Like, let's get practical about it. Let's talk about how you actually do that. So maybe you, like me, have felt confused about that. So I started figuring it out. And part of what has helped me is this 75 hard challenge that I've been doing. And I have noticed that aside from all the other things you do, you're showing up for yourself in a mental way. And that has been really fucking cool for me. And I noticed that in my meditation, I guess just in the last couple of days, as I was meditating and just sitting, I realized that I was really showing up for myself in those moments. And it also meant thinking about what I was manifesting. And after the show, there were a couple different shows where we've talked about this, not only Serena last week, but Amanda Nelson too. And I know she's done it a lot and she shares it a lot. So that just kept kind of nagging at me, like, okay, I think I need to get more serious about what I want to manifest in my life, what I want to actually see. But, you know, as Serena said last week too, you have to be it to see it. I guess that's what her father, Wayne Dyer, said. If you haven't listened to that show, it's so good. So you have to be it to see it. So, but how do you be it if it's not right there in front of you, right? But you do. That's the trick. That's when we're getting in vibrational alignment. So as I was thinking about this, I picked up this book that actually was not a gift to me. It was a gift to Justin, but it's called Ask and It Is Given. Esther and Jerry Hicks, of course, Abraham Hicks. And I hadn't read this book, even though like I've had it mentioned. Well, anyway, they say right here, how to achieve vibrational harmony with what you desire. So the key to bringing something into your experience that you desire is to achieve vibrational harmony with what you desire. So here it is. This is what they say to do, okay? They say the easiest way to do this is to imagine having it, pretend that you already have it and you're experiencing it, then enjoy it, feel enjoying it, and that's it. Then you'll be in the place of allowing that into your experience. Sounds pretty easy. And I think part of that allowing, of course, is gratitude and just staying in that conscious moment. So how are you showing up right then, even just when you're thinking about what you want? How are you showing up for yourself? Are you showing up in a state of lack, It's like we talked about before with the debt versus surplus, the words that we use, which I talked about last week. And so are you showing up thinking about it in a way of lack, like it's missing? Are you showing up thinking about it as it's a surplus, as it is already there? And when you do, it's about that gratitude for it. And I think that can be something as simple as saying thank you, just in your head, when you're thinking about it and just allowing yourself to be in a state of bliss around it, thankful. But I like that gratitude even can be just a feeling. You know, can you say thank you, feel that feeling, and then hang on to that feeling? Does that make sense? I hope so. Because I've been trying to do it. I've been like, okay, what's that feeling of gratitude rather than saying thank you? Just feel that without labeling it, without even attaching any words to it, which is kind of a trip, which we can do with love. We want to express it with words. But if we take the words away, how do you just simply feel? And then use that to show up for yourself in these manifestation spaces. When you are thinking about the things you want, even if you spend 10 minutes a day doing it. And I've started writing them down in actual present moment sentences. I am in surplus, or no, I am a published author with my own deck, which is coming. And whatever it is, I live in my dream home. And then I really imagine that and feel that and feel the gratitude for it. So that is what it means to get a vibrational harmony with what you want. Make sense? Yes. So I just wanted to lay that out because I feel like sometimes they just say that, get in vibrational harmony with it. And it's like, what do you mean? So I just thought we should talk about it and explain it in layman's terms so we can all get on the same page and understand what that even means. Because it's tricky sometimes because it usually comes with a lot of other words too, and it can get confusing. And I don't want to be here to confuse us. I want to be here to keep it simple, to keep our habits simple, to keep our lives more simple, more calm, and more peaceful in the cacophony, in the craziness and the chaos that can appear in life. Can we just find our inner peace and sanctum and gratitude and love and be in that space? Keep it a little simpler within ourselves. All right. I am so excited to offer what's happening today in our conversation. And that is with Aaron Alexander. Aaron is an author and a podcast host, but he's so much more than that. He is a movement and wellness expert. He has written the book, The Align Method, 5 Movement Principles for a Stronger Body, Sharper Mind, and Stress-Proof Life. And he has Align Podcast, A-L-I-G-N. And you can find him at Align Podcast on Instagram or at alignpodcast.com. So I'm so stoked that he took the time to step in today and share his thoughts with us. So let's get to it. Hey, friends, rock stars. You want to rock more? I'm going to tell you about a badass product that helps me every day. It's called Purpose Plus from Sovereignty, sovereignty.co. And I have a unique discount code at the end. So Sovereignty is creating game-changing supplements that can take your workouts or your to-do list or your anything that you have to do, taking care of your kids, podcasts, whatever it is that comes up, it can take it next level. They also have another supplement I'm going to tell you about that helps you fall asleep. And you know, I'm a total sleep nerd. So my favorite is Purpose Plus from them. If you're feeling unmotivated, if you're lacking focus, it can help draw it in a very natural way. It's a blend of CBD and CBG, which is a mood enhancing hemp derived ingredient. They also have 7 clinically studied ingredients with the world's best adaptogens to deliver results that you can feel immediately as soon as you start drinking it. And it tastes good. The supplement empowers and supports your mind and body to feel better, be better, and achieve new levels of productivity. Now, we're not all about productivity, but when we need to be productive, it's helpful to have a little something to give us that kick when we need it that's not caffeine related, right? They also have an awesome sleep product called Dream Plus, and it helps facilitate proper recovery, which nothing beats sleep. Nothing, and proper sleep and good sleep that's not, you know, drug induced essentially. So these are all natural ingredients and things that you can trust. It relaxes and calms the mind while helping you fall asleep and stay asleep longer with the good sleep, the deep sleep. Dream Plus contains 5 clinically studied ingredients, CBD and CBN, and adaptogens to help your body heal from the day while you sleep. If you're not happy with your results, the best part is that they have a 30-day money-back guarantee. So it is no risk, and you can go in and get 20% off your first order with code AMY. A-M-Y. That's it. Simply go to sovereignty.co, sovereignty.co. Oh, yeah, we're going. I rolled right in.
That's great. Well, let me cross my legs like a weirdo as well. Adding all the...
Your jeans are a little...
They're stretchy. They're fine. Oh, we're good.
Oh. I just had a micro orgasm. All right.
It didn't look like it felt that great, but no, I'm glad good. It was good.
It was good. It was good. So we're burning some wood?
Yeah, we
some
are.
Wood.
Burning some wood.
I just had an orgasm.
Uh-huh. That sounds great.
Perfect way to start.
I think we're starting off on an auspicious tone.
This is the way to do it.
Yes.
Are we not going to do headphones?
We don't have to. I've actually kind of just not been doing headphones lately, but if you want to, we can. It's up to you. I've felt more conversational and just,
let me see how this,
I've liked it without.
I've grown accustomed to headphones.
Let's
I know
do
I'm destroying your whole
it.
Experience right now.
You're not at all.
It's also nice. I like the headphones because I know when I'm falling away from the thing.
You like to get closer. Well, you're a professional podcaster, so you know what's up.
I'm legit.
A lot of people don't. You seem legit. I mean... good. Okay. Well, wear headphones.
I'm such a sporadic kind of all over the place being. So there's a good chance I'll be over here and the headphones will be a nice reminder to like come back into the thing.
That is a good reminder. But good you're reminder. Just in the moment, right?
Well, whatever.
I don't yeah. know. Whatever.
In the moment, avoidant, whatever the best terminology would be.
Are you an avoidant?
I can be. I can oscillate between all of the different flavors of attachment style.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. It kind of depends on who you're with.
Way.
But yeah, I can too, for sure. I do too. I don't think that there's a way to pin one label down on anything.
No.
No.
Labels act as models for us to be able to understand, but they're not the definitive truth typically.
We want to make sense of it, whatever it is.
Yeah, everything. Yeah, we're like sense-making creatures.
Uh-huh.
I read a quote from Karl Popper.
Who's that? I don't know him.
He's like old philosopher Ooh. Guy, math guy too. But he, it was essentially paraphrasing, science is the art of systematically simplifying life, simplifying things in general. So oversimplifying rather. So it's science. We want to hang to Should I say it again?
No, I've got it.
All right, cool. So science is the, but it's the oversimplification okay. part that he's referring to. Hmm. So science is the art of oversimplification. And so within that, it's like, it feels good to simplify things into these didactic models that we can hold and touch and lines and, oh, okay, cool, sweet. We're good. We can like have a sigh of relief, but it's not the end of the story. Typically, you can always go a little bit deeper behind that. And that's when, like, look at your background, like all this stardust stuff. We don't know what the hell this is. Technology. We don't know what's going on here.
But
it's very confusing.
We can simplify it down. I want things to be simple. I want it to be peace and in the moment and simple.
Everything is infinitely simple and complex at the same time.
Everything's a fucking paradox. That's what I'm discovering.
Shit's paradoxical.
It really, you know, I'm really glad you said that because I'm discovering everything is a paradox. Everything that we do, I'm finding it like you want love from outside, then love yourself. You know, it's like constant.
And then you could also define what is outside.
Okay.
So if you believe, and I promise I'll get out of just like
why
like philosophical whatever.
I majored in philosophy.
Oh, perfect.
I could have a philosophical discussion all day long.
That's good. But this is something that I often question, especially in the present day. Of you know, autonomy and sovereignty and feminism. And I am like the perfect balance of feminine and masculine. And like, it's all within me.
Uh-huh.
I think that can also lead to you kind of building yourself inside of this little cave, you know, mm-hmm. all alone, and having being open and willing to actually, you know, reach out for help and support. And, you know, the part of constructing yourself can be through relationship with other. In fact, I think it almost absolutely is.
They say, I've been listening to that Conversations with God. Have you ever listened to that?
Yeah. He's an Oregon guy.
Is that right?
I was in Oregon, Bend, Oregon, and then LA, and then here. So Oregon's
Neil Donald something.
Is Walsh? Or is that
Walsh? I think
that's right. That's just in my head someplace. I think that's, that could that be any, might be any right. person.
But basically, you know, the God in the book is saying everything is relational. And in order for us to know ourselves.
Yeah.
That's the only way we can know ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I want to go back to everything is infinitely simple and complex.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, it is. So the relational thing, the thing where I question with that is I think that we can find lessons and deepen our relationship with ourselves through other. It doesn't need to exclusively be, okay, the only path towards deeper relationships is me being by myself alone in a cave someplace and just like sitting with me.
No.
I think that you have to define me. You know, so right now we're kind of a continuation of each other. We're attuning to each other, mm-hmm. you know, that like as I'm in this room, you know, the temperature affects the way that I feel. Sounds in the room affect the way that I feel. Texture of the table affects the way that I feel. Mm-hmm. And so the idea that I stop at the end of like my skin, I think that's a story, but it's not necessarily like the end of the story.
Right.
So it's we are in continuation with each other in a way.
And with other things that we've experienced, because you only know that it's cold in here because you've experienced other things.
Hmm. Oh, like relative to heat.
Relation, relative.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's all the same.
Yeah.
In it.
But the reason I bring that up is I think that I myself, I think I've perhaps put a lot of excess weight or energy into like sorting this thing out on my own. And I think that's led to a lot of disconnection.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell me more about that. You just thought you were going it alone?
The story or idea that, yeah, like the only way to find happiness, contentment, deeper relationships with other is just doing that work on your own. And then from there, it's like, okay, cool. That principally starts. And then from there, that goes out to the next place of like being with another person.
Yeah.
But most of the deepest lessons I've gathered in constructing myself and, you know, my morals and personality and values and everything, in large part has come from, especially in relation to women, as teachers for me, as reflections, you know. And so yes, doing it alone, meditation, just working hard and having initiative and, you know, all that just on your own by yourself is valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And that will assist in the way you show up with another person. And I think it's in tandem or in continuation, another person informs the way you show up with yourself.
Yeah. So how do you then show up with yourself? You have to sit back with that probably.
Yeah, both. It's yin yang oscillation, like the pendulum goes back and forth.
Yeah.
But the modern story that I see a lot in my little echo chamber, I think is like, it's all you, you know? So whatever your relationship situation is, your business, whatever, it's like, it's you. You're like, okay, cool. I guess I'll be by myself and be here at my apartment alone and just like figure this out. It's like, no, go out, because you are a continuation of me. And, you know, like everything that like the whole world, nature is a continuation of me as well. Yeah. You know, you're not just this isolated skin bag.
I've been continually surprised. I think last fall when I joined Fit for Service, I felt like I had pushed away like healing with community and allowing other people to help me with that, especially in relation to, you know, my most recent divorce. And that's why I got this tattoo, because it surprised me in that instance how valuable that is and how much healing can happen with the other person.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know why it took me so long to even realize that, because I've had friends and things like that, but I feel like it took a profound experience for me to pay attention to it. Cause I did have, I don't know. I think sometimes we do get too wrapped up, especially as Americans, probably in this whole, you know, do it yourself, pull yourself up by your bootstraps and figure it out kind of a thing.
Yeah. I was listening to a thing from Arnold Schwarzenegger. Have you heard of him?
Yeah, I think I have.
Arnold.
Heard of him.
Yeah. I used to be obsessed with Arnold growing up. I'd watch Pumping Iron. I probably watched it like 21 times.
Wow.
I would say. But he was doing some speech for a college. And it was about, you might have seen it. But essentially it's like, he's like, if you call me anything, you can call me anything, but you can't call me a self-made man. Even though from, you know, the outside looking in, you'd be like, oh, wow, he came from, where'd he come from? Germany? Not Germany. Where'd he come from? Austria. Yeah. You know, he came to America with $20 in his pocket.
Right.
And, you know, he liked lifting weights or wanted to be an actor, but he talked funny and all these different things. Like, and then he's now like one of the most impactful, influential human beings on the planet. You know, so from the outside looking in, you're like, wow, like you really, you know, like you built yourself out of nothing. And his story with the college was how, you know, when he was living at this little dingy apartment, all of his weightlifting bodybuilder friends, they came over, I think for like Thanksgiving or something. And they brought him plates and, you know, furniture and silverware and all the things that he couldn't afford to be able to move him forward into the place of like even just having a home.
Yeah.
You know, and so and then continue on that. It's like everything that he's done and likely you've done and I've done, if we're really honest, is a product of the community and our relationships and being
absolutely
vulnerable enough to open yourself up to allow the outside in.
It's so funny. I'm surprised we're talking about this because I was just reading about this today. Have you read that book, The One Thing? It's funny. We're talking about
Jay Papasan.
No, I'm. Is that
Jay Papasan or another guy?
It's got two authors. Gary something.
Yeah. He helped me find my home in Bend, Oregon. Jay Papasan.
Are we just talking about everyone from Oregon today?
Yeah, these are Oregonites. He's not in Oregon. He's a Texas person. I
believe. Oh, he is. Yeah. Well, I was just reading that today. But the part I was reading was no one is a self-made man. Everyone needs other people.
Okay.
And they were saying, he's saying in that book, like, who's your one person? Like he was pointing out as if, you know, there was just one person that really they could lean into. Like with, I think the, you know, guy who started Walmart, it was like his uncle that gave him $20,000 and another loan. And, you know, but of course it's not just one person.
Mm-mm.
That's oversimplifying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oversimplification.
It's oversimplification.
It's a scientific outlook.
Mm-hmm.
Who's been impactful in your world?
Definitely my father. You know, I definitely can credit him. And then I think there's too many to answer that even too, because I stay really, really open, at least these days, to anywhere it can come from. And I just try to like constantly be aware of when something is coming into my field of vision and say, okay, I'm being shown this for a reason. What can I do with it? Why am I being shown it? How can I use it? You know, thank you. And I mean, I'm just thinking of podcasts I've been on or guests that show up here and just the little things that they say that I try to introduce into my own life to grow from.
Mm. How do lessons from your father show up in your daily life?
It's been a big growing experience for my father because he passed away in 2011. And so I held a lot of shame with the money that I inherited from him. And I know that he wanted to give me a life that he didn't have and to both of me and my sister. And so I think that I have struggled in the fact that I feel like I let him down. Because I hadn't managed it right. I felt like I didn't do it the way he would have wanted me to do. I didn't honor it enough. But as I've taken time to step back from that, I've known that he doesn't love me for my money management skills and that it's really about a bigger picture and love. And so I try to keep that in perspective. And that I'm learning what I'm supposed to learn. And I just stay in gratitude for him. And I try to just connect with him on a vibrational level when I'm meditating or even just walking around, you know, I'll just have that little awareness that, that they're with me and they, meaning him and my mother, they both passed away. So, so yeah, on a daily level, I do stay conscious of it, but I don't operate from that shame space anymore.
Mm. What was the,
mostly.
What was the intention behind the mismanaging of the money or the lack of money skills?
What was the intention behind it?
Yeah. There was like the action, there was like the the action of mismanagement or what, could, what seemed to be outside.
I think at the time you probably don't think it's necessarily mismanagement.
Right. Exactly.
I think my,
but what was the intention behind it?
Oh yeah. I've looked into that and I think that I was confused. I think that I wanted to be taken care of and have it done for me instead of doing it and remaining really conscious and aware and feeling like I'm capable. I think there was like an intention of not feeling like I'm capable, like I'm just a girl and I can't do it. Mm. And instead of stepping into, of course I'm capable. He thought I was capable. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that that's necessarily an intention, but there is a belief behind it, I think.
Yeah. Where do you think you got the belief?
Who's interviewing you here?
It's fun. I just like learning. If I'm with somebody, I'd rather learn. If learning is me, you know, describing crap inside of my head, then I'm like, cool, that's good learning. But my preference is whatever we're doing, hopefully it's just leading towards both of us are getting something out of it.
No, these are vulnerable questions for me and good things for me to think about and answer, you know, because actually money's been top of my mind lately and how I'm moving forward in that in my life and making money and really stepping into new beliefs rather than the old beliefs, because that's where it all stems from. Mm-hmm. So, you know, believing that I'm just a girl and I can't, or I need to be taken care of versus I can continue to model to the universe what I want and what I desire and keep hustling my ass off and showing up for myself and showing up for all of this, you know?
Yeah.
And what I'm trying to do and using my voice as my purpose. So I don't know if that answered your question.
Do you feel like you have a healthy relationship with money?
I am working on it. I feel like it's a work in progress and I've had to not give it as much power in my life. And look at abundance rather than money.
Yeah.
How's your relationship with money?
Getting better.
Getting better. Mm-hmm. And what's that look like?
There's a book called The Soul of Money. Have you ever heard of that
one? No.
I don't remember the author's name. But in that, one of the points that I gathered that I thought was interesting is valuing what you have. And this is nothing new or novel. It's just like being grateful, you know, which has a lot of empirically researched evidence that suggests that it literally, you know, changes your outlook and structure and function of your brain and, you know, like
and your immune system and further. Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. But in that, one of the things that she pointed out that was interesting is until you come to a place of gratitude for what you have, why would, I don't know, God, the universe, your higher self, grant you more shit or more responsibility? It doesn't make sense.
Right.
You know, so it's like if you had a child, which you are a child and I am a child and we're like self-parenting and some are aware of that and some are less aware of that. But if you had a child and you got them this great, like from the heart gift for Christmas or their birthday or whatever day, and they just like shat on it. And they're just like, I don't care. Like, I just want a model Corvette or something like that. Like, this is stupid. You're like, dude, I like really worked. Like, this is actually meaningful.
Yeah.
I like really cared about this. This is like a bridge, a connection, and you're just shitting all over it. You're not getting your fucking Corvette. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. I have two kids. I'm aware.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
And so that can create like a break between you and whatever word, yourself, the universe,
yeah,
God, like Krishna, whatever you like, Jesus, whatever you're down with.
Source,
sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're in Austin. Yeah. I didn't realize Austin is way crunchier than I had anticipated.
Oh, yeah, because you just moved here, right?
Yeah.
You're here full time, but you had been here a lot, right?
Yeah, but I didn't realize, like, deep in the annals of Austin, there's like some
keep Austin weird. We're full of
I'm not mad at 70s,
80s hippies.
I'm not mad at it. I just didn't realize there's like Sedona kind of level of new age influence here.
Yeah, but it's old.
Like, is it really?
Oh yeah, it's been here a long time.
What's this history of the wooks of Austin?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, it goes back to our music lineage and back in the 70s and Thread Gills and, you know, people like Janis Joplin and people coming up around here like that and the whole music scene and all that. Uh-huh. It's like a grassroots thing.
Yeah, I was surprised. I lived in Boulder, Colorado before and Maui, Hawaii. I don't think people usually say Maui, Hawaii. It's Maui or
just
Hawaii.
Maui. Yeah.
Hawaii. And Bend, Oregon. I grew up in Pennsylvania, but I lived in like a lot of the granola meccas of North America, the United States.
It sounds like.
And I'm surprised that Austin is just far more new agey, crunchy granola than I had anticipated.
Why did
but
you
it's also
here?
A lot of things. There's like the Elon, it's like everything from like new age patch pant dreadlock guy in a slack line in the park to like Elon Musk.
Yeah.
It's a very fascinating dichotomy of human beings that exist here.
It's like a little bit of everything.
That's how I like it.
I like it. Yeah. Why did you move here?
They're doing it. Just community, people change things up. I was in LA for almost 5 years and I did a lot of the things that I wanted to do there. There's always, you know, there's always opportunities to be ungrateful and say like, oh, I want more of this or more of that or whatever. And then there's always at the same time, there's the other side of the coin of just being like, you know, on your knees, unfathomably grateful for all the things that have been. And so a lot of the things that I wanted that had in like the, you know, the vision ended up coming to fruition. And it was just like putting in the work of being in a place for 4.5 years or so, and getting to the end of that. I typically historically have had cycles of 4.5 years in places. In Colorado, it was 4.5 years. Maui, it was 4.5 years. LA, it was 4.5 years. We'll see what I do in Austin. Mm-hmm. And I think that during that time, I wonder if there's some type of numerology to it or some type of, maybe that has something to do with why like college, you know, freshman, sophomore, junior, you know,
having your educational
there's
experience.
Something about that 4 years for me. And then around
high school too.
Around that, the end of that 4 year point, I kind of come into a place of like, okay, like what's next? Like, I feel like I've been through this education.
Mm-hmm. You live that cycle.
Yeah.
You did it.
And so that was kind of the sensation where on paper, the things that I was doing in LA were really great. But it started to feel a little bit like redundant and I needed to kind of shake up the snow globe.
And freshen it up.
Freshen things up.
Well, so what do you want to do now that you're here?
Take over the world.
Fuck yeah.
No.
That's what we're all doing.
No, not at all. I've actually become less, in some ways, much less. I'm like more entrepreneurial and more like projecting into the future and such, but at the same time also care much less, which is kind of an interesting place. Like I'm doing more, but I actually care much less.
I think that's good. There's another paradox.
Everything is that way.
I know.
And this is the same thing with like chasing girls.
Right.
You know, like the more you care, they're like, oh, not interested. Like if you actually want me, you must, this comes back into like, probably like daddy and mommy issues. Like if you really want me,
yeah, right.
Then you're probably stupid because I'm not wantable. But if you turn on those lights that mm-hmm. continue with the story that I'm, you know, I'm not wantable and I can work to be wanted, then I'm like, oh, give me more of that.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. Yeah. And so I think I'm kind of going through a little bit of place of that now, which I'm just like in witnessing, I'm kind of seeing like, oh, I don't really care as much about some of the previous like markers of success that I was seeking, while at the same time, I'm still actively forward going in those directions.
I think that comes with age a little bit too.
Maybe.
Stop caring. Maybe. Yeah, maybe. I mean, we've got Elon Musk and, you know, he's still
going
for
it. What's his age?
That's a good question. I don't know. What's his age?
Do aliens have linear human ages?
I know. Yes,
I've
they
seen
do.
Him cry a
yes,
couple times. I feel like when Musk cries, he's 50 years old.
Yeah. What? How old?
50.
He's 50.
Yeah. Yeah. When Musk cries, it's like the sighting of a double rainbow. It like goes all over the internet. Everyone's like, it becomes memes.
I can't believe he's 50.
Does look bad for 50.
I like that things are transforming in your life.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that.
I like that because I think it's all about that. And I'm always like, how are we transforming?
Mm.
And, you know, loving the old and loving the new.
It's just getting comfortable in your, like Ram Dass, does Ram Dass call it? The human suit. And he says, like, when I was a kid, I was granted a space suit to navigate the world in, which ultimately Earth is a space suit. And then within that, there's like the human space suit, which is like an extension of the ocean. You know, mm-hmm. You're 70-odd% water.
Like the makeup of everything.
Yeah, your cells. If you go deeper,
a microcosm,
if you go deeper
Earth.
In that, it'd be much higher percentage. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's like what is it called? The human dolphin theory that we all came from aquatic creatures at some point.
I've never heard that.
When you come out of the yoni. I like saying yoni in podcasts. Okay. Any opportunity I have to say yoni, I say yoni. you could swim as a baby. And so that's a novel thing. Lots of other mammals can't do that. You throw a baby, human baby, into a pool. They're just, you know, they're doing backstrokes and they're like totally comfortable. And then they can kind of unlearn that. But when they come out of the situation, they're immediately like they're water ready.
They've been in water.
Yeah. And so the suggestion would be that essentially human beings are, they're land based creatures that's they're a continuation of the ocean. You know, so they at some point, some brave dolphin, you know, evolutionary creature, whatever, started coming out of the ground, and you gather your resources from the ocean. You bring yourself out on the ground. But now we're still essentially continuations of the ocean, which is kind of an interesting idea. Why was I talking about the
we were talking dolphin? About transforming. I don't know.
What the freak?
I lost track.
You know
of
about
the
stoned ape theory?
No.
Stoned ape theory is good.
Tell
too.
Me more. What's
stoned
that?
Ape theory? There was a real. I was so excited about that. But stoned ape theory is Terrence McKenna stuff, and
I like
essentially suggests that human evolution is a product of apes discovering psychedelics in the form of probably psilocybin,
mm-hmm.
And then that kind of catalyzing this brain growth potential, so synaptic potentiation and neuroplasticity, all that's mm-hmm. potentiated from psilocybin and psychedelics, maybe not all psychedelics, but certainly psilocybin, LSD, things of the sort. And so that would be the catalyst for this massive jump in human evolution is the discoverer of these psychedelics, which I kind of find to be really interesting. I think it's probably human evolution is probably a combination of a lot of different theories. There's probably not one distinct one that just covers all of it.
Is it oversimplified?
It's probably some Karl Popper shit where it's an oversimplification. Most things, the same thing with politics. I think it's like when you have the bipartisan view or the dogmatic perspective of anything, it's convenient because it makes people feel more comfortable to be able to exist in some type of pre-structured, prefabricated.
Have some answers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, which perhaps that has something to do with people that are under some type of religion, you know, Orthodox religion or people that are married. They kind of have like these rules to live within. And I think they can tend to be a little bit like happier and healthier and wealthier. And because they've kind of sorted out that story part.
Right.
So they don't have as much bandwidth that's going into like, what the hell are we doing out here? It's like, boom, we have a book for you.
Right.
All of those existential questions that could cause you to have a breakdown. Close your eyes. Just here you go.
And you don't like, have to figure
perfect.
Out all these options.
Moving right along. Who am I? It doesn't matter. I'm a child of God. Forward.
It must be nice.
It's great.
It must be nice.
It's great.
You know?
It's convenient.
I don't think like that.
What do you think?
I tried to think like that.
What do you think?
Were you raised religiously?
Certainly.
You certainly?
Mm-hmm.
How? What religion?
Christian.
You went to church? Like
oh,
what
yeah.
denomination?
Every Sunday. Non-denominational.
Okay.
What? Yeah. But I attended like Catholic services and stuff as well. Mm-hmm. We did like Bible studies. I was like professing about JC at school. I'd hold groups.
Were you saved? Like did the whole...
Got saved.
Yeah.
I mean, as a little guy, I was always a little bit disconnected from it because it felt like a lot of theater. And so I would like go and, you know, go to church and I'd have like my hands up over my head and like having a hot, you know, holy revival.
Right on,
and whatnot.
Sure.
And
an experience, a big Jesus experience.
JC experience, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think the JC experience is consistent with, you know, you could go hang out with whirling dervishes or go hang out with people doing kirtans and Hare Krishna communities or go hang out with people at a music festival and they're
a
dancing
mystical
around
experience,
a mystical experience
yeah.
or go do some 5-MeO DMT or whatever you're doing. The 5-MeO DMT is probably going to be a little bit more honest, but what you're doing
intense.
when you're incorporating, not necessarily honest, I think you could probably be equally confusing, but when you're incorporating those rhythmic movements and the breath practices and, you know, you're being, you're coming into unicity with a larger group. I think ultimately all of the different practices historically that create that sensation of unicity, they're all tapping into that sensation of God. And then you can come up with specific definitive terms of what's happening. But I think all of that's just minutiae.
What a well put explanation of that. Totally agree. I couldn't have said it near as well, not even close.
Wow. Well,
I couldn't have.
All right.
That was really beautiful.
I'm sure you
No,
could.
I really like it.
I mean, I
thank
very
you.
Nice
Thanks for the confidence. Okay. Well, then when did you finally realize that? When did you come out of the JC?
I'm still in the JC. I think JC is great.
Are you still, would you call yourself a Christian?
As much as I'd call myself anything else. I think that
wow.
Yeah, I think the JC is cool. Like the teachings of JC are legit. You could base most of your life off of almost any of the spiritual texts. There's a few specific details that they conflict with the present day. Like you're probably not going to stone your wife because she like, you know, I don't know. What's it? You stone your wife for in the Bible it states, I knew this like a year ago. Stone your wife for like doing something with another guy or I don't know, but stuff like that. It's like, we're probably not going
to,
there probably won't be as many wife stonings this day and age. Thankfully.
Yay. Great.
You know, progress.
Progress. Yeah.
But with anything, any movement or dogma movement too many times, but any of those things, there's going to be value in all of it. And there's also going to be some bullshit. And so I think that you could read the Bhagavad Gita, you could read the Upanishads, you could read the Bible, you could read the Quran, you could read like any of these things that have made it throughout history, like thousands of years.
Yeah.
There's a reason, you know, and there's a really small-minded perspective that I've carried of like, oh, like it's, and it's kind of comes from a place of being angry and feeling duped and feeling also maybe like a sensation of wanting to feel like you're discovering one's own identity outside of the kind of the cloak of what I grew up being like, okay, I'm a Christian, period. I just put that cloak over myself. The process of taking that off can sometimes be a little bit almost like a violent pushing away, mm-hmm. which I went through that stage of like hard no and kind of venturing more into like not atheist, but agnostic and, you know, even like it can kind of go into like a nihilist perspective as well, which I don't think is really that healthy. But then I think one can circle back and start to come from a place of finding the value in religion. And I think that's a way healthier place to come from, you know, so if because we're always just training our lens of how we perceive things. And so for me, where I typically attempt to kind of like tune my lens to is what's the value here? You know, someone, you know, whatever, killed me. Like, what's the value? Like, what's the deeper lesson?
What's
here?
The value to you in religion then? Maybe those parameters for some people they live by that help them.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
What about for you personally?
Gratitude for I think that like the philosophical underpinnings of all of those books that I mentioned.
Yeah.
And I've read some and listened to all of them on Audible. It's legit. I mean, like everything that I've gathered for the most part, maybe call it like 92%. I'm like, oh yeah, like you could base your life off of most of these principles and get by quite well.
What principles do you base your life on?
I mean, treating others as you'd want to be treated.
Pretty simple.
You know? Yeah. I think those are like the main things. Renunciating your attachment to outcome, you know, doing things with the intention of just creating betterness in the world, in the room, in the community, without attachment to, oh, I'm going to get this back.
Oh, big time.
If you can come into that place, then you're like, you're on like some king shit. You're like, okay, we're really moving here.
How good are you at renunciating your attachment to outcome?
80%.
80%. I like that you just nail it with a number.
If I was honest, I'd say probably 80%. Yeah, there's definitely still attachment.
Do you have a process for getting rid of that?
I'm definitely a better person when people are around. For sure.
You're a better person when people are around.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
What do you like when people aren't around then?
Terrible.
What do you like?
What do I like when people are around? No, I'm not that much different. Really. I don't think people would be that much more surprised, you know. I usually don't wank in public.
No.
Like wanking,
usually.
Wanking would probably be a thing.
Well, that's what comes to mind first.
What's the comedian? Lewis? Was it
Louis C.K.?
Louis C.K. Mm-hmm. God, what a bummer.
Yeah, what a bummer. What a bummer.
Was what he did that bad?
I've got it mixed up with everybody else these days.
I think he asked girls if he could wank in front of them.
Oh, I think he did. Yeah, I think that's right. Is that that bad? Well, he is a comedian.
A gross comedian. Mm-hmm. Like if anybody was going to do it, you'd be like, I could see that.
Like if he said that to me, I'd be like, he's a
guy. Louis asked to wank in front of me again. Like I said no and I moved on. Like I don't think there was ever a situation where it was like any kind of, you know, violence or a whole. It was just kind of like, hey, Amy, you think maybe I could, you know,
right,
wank in front of you? You'd be like, no, or whatever. If I asked, what would you say?
What would I say if you asked me that?
Can I wank in front of you?
What is our context?
I just like it.
Where are we at this point?
We could be in this room.
We could just be in this room on camera.
Yeah, and I think we could have the cameras on, you know, running.
Can I leave I might ask you, can I leave if I want to? I mean, yeah, ahead.
No, I just like it. It just like it makes me feel seen. You know, it's like a validation thing. I've had some insecurity around my genitals. For you to be able to see me in the act, it like heals some sexual wounding.
Well, I don't know when you put it like that.
You can walk out of the room.
You sound really conscious about it, and I appreciate that. I mean, you know, okay.
Word. Not that bad.
Louis, take notes.
Not that bad. You could get away with so much, I think, if you were just genuinely comfortable and honest.
Well, some good things did come out of the pandemic, one of which is we're dressing a little more comfortably, but we still want to look good while we do it. So Good Life Clothing is addressing this exact need. They're an American-made product from the finest, highest quality materials. Their core collection of premium essentials keeps you looking good and feeling great. And that's the goal. We want to dress well, but feel comfortable. I know I wear it. It's so soft. It feels so good. They just put a store here in Austin too in the Domain. It's absolutely gorgeous. You can go check it out. They have a few scattered around the country, but that's okay if you're not in a city with a Good Life Clothing, because you can order online too at goodlifeclothing.com. Be sure when you do to use my code. It is AMY20, AMY20, to get 20% off in store or online. Easy. It's that easy. Go to goodlifeclothing.com and elevate your game with Good Life. You are very comfortable and honest. And I love that about you. I have not been around you that many times. I've heard you on conversations. I'm talking in real life. And
IRL. Love that there's a differentiation.
Well, and you know, I heard you on a FaceTime call once. We were traveling to Houston, and just the things you said made me laugh because you were so comfortable and honest. And you were just, I mean, when did you get hung up about judgment from other people and like get past that? Or because you don't seem to have any hangups about that. And that's fucking amazing. Like we should all get there.
I'm not there by any means.
You're not? Seem like you are.
That's a very kind
Like the conversation
kind
of we just had.
That's just funny.
I know it is funny. Yeah. It is funny. But you're just comfortable talking about
it. Many people that do funny things, which I'm not funny. Like a comedians are like funny, like the art of humor. When I'm around people that are professional comedians, I just like bow down to like, oh, like you've really cultivated this craft of funny. Like, whoa. But oftentimes those are just forms of bypass. Mm-hmm. You know, so I don't think being like silly and, you know, having like the wanking conversation that we did. I felt comfortable in that, but there's lots of directions that we could probably point our noses that would all of a sudden put me into like a sphincter clenching type position.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for
what
sure.
What puts you lots in that? Because you seem, I don't know. I want to ask you, like, what do you feel like gets out of alignment with you and what makes you feel that way?
What does it get me out of
alignment? Are you comfortable enough to say that? What makes you feel like you'd clench up?
Well, like,
where are those spaces?
I think the thing, like a common thread of making me feel, and right now, honestly, I feel pretty good. Nothing comes to mind in the present moment of like, this is really like a sphincter clencher for me. If it comes up or if you bump into something, I'll be like, ha ha, here we are.
We found one.
Yeah. Orifice is subtly clenching. There's nothing that like particularly, and I guess maybe you are right that I have done some level of open investigation into where are those clenchings. And perhaps I've made more progress than I give myself credit to. And that's a habit of not giving credit.
Ooh, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which is great. I think that's a great thing. Like being like continually being able to, like having moments of reflection, honest reflection, being really honest, I think is really important, like with oneself. And the balance of honesty of saying like, wow, like, man, Amy, you've come a long way. You know, like pat yourself on the fucking back. Like, look who you are. Look who you spend time with. Look at, you know, your health. Look at your vitality. Look at, you know, just like what you're doing in the world. Like, you're great.
It's easy to forget.
Super easy.
We let ourselves forget all the time because we dwell on the other stuff.
Well, we're creatures of habit. And then the other place could be,
yeah,
being in a place of like superego, which superego is a Freudian term, but like height, like narcissism, you know, where you're in a place of I'm you know, superior to other people. Like I am the best, you know, and you're like, so that's like that unconscious incompetence is a term for that. Are you familiar with that? Conscious.
No, but it makes total sense.
Yeah.
And I've said
unconscious incompetence is the most annoying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure I'm unconsciously incompetent with various things.
Me too.
I'm sure you are.
We all are.
Yeah.
We
so
all
it's are. Like what, and then yeah. that's the value of having honest reflections from the outside. Say like, mm-hmm. Where are you unconsciously incompetent? Because if you're consciously incompetent, that's fine. That's progress. The most dangerous person is the unconsciously incompetent person in power. Mm-hmm. If they've somehow found themselves into a position of influence and they're in fact highly unconsciously incompetent with whatever the thing that they're like peddling or whatever it may be, that's where it's like, oh. And now with the modern world, the way that it is, one arriving to a position of influence is more accessible than ever before. And oftentimes, probably historically, one could arrive themselves into a position of influence as a product of their own narcissism.
Say that last part again. As a product of their own narcissism.
Yeah, like yes. Trump would be an example of that.
That's the first one that leaps
to
mind.
He's the most obvious. He's also obviously like highly intelligent and, you know, really evolved in a lot of ways.
Well,
he got
to where he got to.
He's a big deal. Mm-hmm. I mean, to not give Trump credit, I think is highly ignorant, and you're just not paying close enough attention. Like the guy's smart, you know, he's seems like he's got some unhealed childhood wounds and he's kind of stuck in certain immature mental, emotional patterns yes. that come out in his position of, yes. of being the most powerful man in the yes. world, mm-hmm. you know, or was or whatever until he got canceled. And now he'll probably come back realistically.
Oh God, he's so old. Just
He's so old. How old's Biden?
He's old too.
Like 200.
They're all old.
Holy shit.
And I'm over it. They're all old.
I don't know anything about politics. We should move along.
We should. I don't spend time in that space anymore. I don't spend time in that space anymore.
I just enjoy the witnessing of the people though. The agendas and the initiatives and all that stuff. I claim complete utter ignorance. But the watching of the people, any person can engage with that.
Yeah.
And that's where it becomes, that's like a really interesting facet of politics. Just watching the way that people express and, you know, are they lying? Are they, you know, are they being influenced from some other place other than a place of authenticity? When you find a person that's truly authentic, not just in politics, it's more like a unicorn, but in general in life, it's really like an attractive magnetic thing to be around.
Who do you think
is very surprising?
Who is that? Who would you single out as authentic? Someone who is like genuinely authentic,
like a popular figure
or someone you admire or.
Oh, man.
Know.
Most of my friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think there's really it's hard for me to entertain someone that's not unless there are. If they're consciously inauthentic, I'm not mad at it. Like if it's someone, you know, like that's like, say like a girl that's very like materialistic and she has all the plastic surgeries and she's just like a gold digger, like all the things,
but she's
conscious and honest and open about it. Like I can love and accept that.
Yeah, I can too.
Yeah. It's the pretense that makes me uncomfortable.
But actually that ends up being authentic.
That's an authentic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it's conscious, it can't be inauthentic.
Yeah. And the only way to see a thing in somebody else that I think perhaps the only way to see a thing in another person is, in fact, this comes back to me conflicting with what I was saying before, but it's still fairly consistent, is to be able to recognize that in yourself. I think if you can't recognize an attribute in another person, I wonder if perhaps you would essentially be blind to it, almost like a dog whistle kind of thing. Like some trait.
I need an example.
Someone's greedy.
Okay.
Like, they just want everything for themselves. Like, I can't stand it. You know, or someone that's narcissistic or someone that's, you know, inconsiderate or someone that's, you know, shows up with some kind of pretense or fakeness or phoniness or whatever it may be. In order for that to be a charge or a trigger in oneself, I feel like in order to recognize that pattern, you'd have to recognize it in yourself. Like a baby before starting to exhibit those patterns. They would be blind to all of those things that I just mentioned.
Yeah.
Like it wouldn't exist. And so in fact, the only way to actually, so you can have compassion for everything because ultimately you're seeing a thing through the reflection of yourself.
I do that.
You know what I'm saying?
I do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the things that really piss you off the most are the things that you need the most work with yourself. So if something's like a trigger.
Yeah.
I heard a thing from a yoga teacher. A lot of times yoga teachers I find annoying, like the stuff that they talk and I'm just like,
perhaps this is a trigger in yourself.
Stretch out my hips.
I need to stretch out my hips right now, actually.
You've been opening up the adductors the whole time.
I know. Well,
pelvic floor.
It's in here. Pelvic floor.
Pelvic floor is a big deal.
Well, but if you're annoyed by the yoga teacher, isn't that pointing something out in yourself?
Certainly, yeah, that's what I'm saying. But that was one of the one thing she mentioned that I thought was actually one of like the good ones was was never waste a trigger. And I was like, oh, that's
legit. That is
like
good.
If you're a forward progress person, you're interested in like doing the work, which that's a funny word. Do you know Byron Katie?
I saw that you interviewed her. I'm a huge, massive fan. I feel like her work changed my life.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that's
I
good.
Love her shit.
Did she coin the work?
I think so.
So when everybody says doing the work, is that Katie?
No, they just say the work. I'm doing the work.
Doing the work. So that's not Katie? Katie didn't coin that shit?
I don't know. Maybe, because she's been around a while.
She's a sweetie.
Oh.
She let me acro her, which is great.
She did.
Yeah, I picked that bitch up.
That's so cool. I'm like starstruck. No, seriously. Actually, before you came in, I was looking at your website and I was like, he talked to Byron Katie. That was the one that got me.
She's a sweetie. She's like really lovely.
Oh, she sounds like it.
Did you listen to the conversation?
I haven't, but I will.
It's a good one. It's pretty short. I think it's like 45. We've done two conversations, but the last one's better.
Badass.
The last one was, I went up to her place it's not Santa Cruz. Where is it? Up north. Anyways, it doesn't matter. I went up to her.
Cool.
Where the hell is it? Oh, Ojai. Went up to Ojai.
And what What are some of the, how did that affect you? Spending time with her.
Sweet lady.
Just a sweet lady.
Yeah, she's just a lady.
I know, but I mean,
like, she, Katie would never be like, oh, like, how did I affect you?
Like,
you're like, she's a chick. She's great.
But what did you take away?
She does a good job with compassion. She does a good job with gratitude. She does a good job with questioning everything. Is it true?
That's what I like.
Yeah, that's her thing. I think those three things, those are good. But that's all Bible, Quran, Bhagavad Gita, Pandit, like that's you'll get all those lessons from all the books and all the people and all the philosophers. Like, it's all the same shit.
Yeah, sometimes it's harder to get to it, though.
But when you find a person that's more like source connected, mm-hmm. like they just have, we're all source connected.
Yes.
There's no person that's not connected to all that ever is and all that ever was. There's just a matter of there's like the static layer on the outside, and then as you move through the different static and like the miasma of kind of our ego and ideas and stories and who we think we're supposed to be and think we are, and you know, getting for like chasing the carrots and all that. Mm-hmm. That's all this kind of like static business on the outside that we've learned.
Yeah.
You know, you start off as a baby and you're just pure light. And then this static miasma, which is a term that I'm just coming up with now, starts to build and build and build. Mm-hmm. And then there's a process of the pulling away of that. Hence, like in psychedelic culture, say like the veil comes down for, you know, 6 minutes to 6 hours or whatever, like the veil's down. That's that static.
Well, it's like goes. You said earlier, we're in the process. You said something about the filter. We're just learning to navigate this filter, or however you phrased it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This lens or something that we're all
whatever.
Seeing.
Yeah. And so that's with Katie, who the Byron Katie thing can be confusing. She goes by Katie, mm-hmm. but her name's Byron Katie.
Mm-hmm.
Very confusing. Anyways, Katie, she's done, I think, an effective job with piercing through that miasmic goo of who I think I am and who I think I'm supposed to be and where I think I'm going and all that stuff. And she's just more continually tapped into that source place. But it's nothing. It's only novel because of the world that we live in. But I think if we lived in a more like nature oriented world and less consumer based reality, it would probably be like the norm. Mm-hmm. But because we're tricked from a young age, you know, we're exposed to like 30 odd million advertisements by age 18 or whatever the number is. So we're continually tricked into learning this story that we will be loved. We will be enough. We will be, you know, a part of the tribe once we have the thing. And so that trains our minds into continually creating a separation between that like source, like, wow, like I already am everything I've ever needed and ever, you know, could be. Like, it's all right here. I have access to it all right now. That switch gets flipped and there becomes a distance of, once I have that car, once I have that house, once I have that bank account, once I have that girl, once I have those shape of eyes, that shape of lips, my nose is half a centimeter that direction, or it's not as bulby on the front. It's then, all bullshit stories.
Then I'm happy then.
And it's also totally beautiful. Like, it's such a sweet, lovely thing that ultimately behind all of that, people just want to be loved. It's like you could like cry, like I have like a tear, like, oh, like you just want to be loved. Like, how beautiful. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so you can come from that place of compassion and be able to see that person for what they really are, which is the same as you and the same as everything else ever was and ever will be. It's like it's purely beautiful. And all of the little aberrations that express in that miasmic goo on the outside, those are just symptoms of that story that I'm unlovable.
Yeah.
And I'll be lovable when I have the thing.
I know.
It's fucking beautiful. Like, it's so beautiful. People are so beautiful.
People are so beautiful.
Oh, man. And then, again, like homelessness. Mm-hmm. And you're like, you know, bums, lazy. You know, there's just they're clogging up the streets. I don't think there's any homeless person. Like when I look at a homeless person or a person with schizophrenia, which is the majority of homeless people have some type of mental disorder. And there's just nowhere culturally, we don't live in a culture where we prize that or we have anywhere to go with that. It's just kind of like a misfit toy, which most of the people in your reality are probably a bunch of misfit toys. They're just like more socially acceptable misfit toys.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a sub acceptable misfit toy in our cultural paradigm. Maybe in another culture, we'd see those people as like having access to, you know, higher levels of wisdom and be like, oh, that's like training for shamanism or something. Mm-hmm. You know, just the cultural fit that mind got dropped into or as a product of, however the orientation of it, it doesn't fit in this culture. But when I see those people, I see them as being like marginally different than me. Like we're the same thing. My mind is on this track and their mind's like on that track. It's like it's like a foot over. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wow, like, man, I'm awesome. You know, I got a new car. I'm going to go do a podcast interview. Like, cool. Killing it. You know, and then there's the homeless person on the street. I'm like, there's that person. I think if I grew up in the exact identical environment, you know, astrological time, parents, you know, education, indoctrination, all of that. I am that person. Like there's
100%.
Yeah.
It's so funny. Like one day I was right here at 2222 in Mopac and I see someone on the corner of the road. She's homeless. She's got a sign and dog or whatever. And I knew right then it was my best friend from childhood. We grew up.
Oh, it literally was.
It literally was.
Whoa. Heavy.
Heavy.
Yeah.
And I just knew right then. And I had my daughter with me and I was like, we're circling back. We're circling back. We're going back around. She's like, okay. And so we drive back around and sure enough, I pull up and I'm like, that's fucking her. And so it is me. Like we grew up. Our parents are friends. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were best friends all through elementary school. And yeah, her mind's just taken a different track. Mm-hmm. You know, it is me. It is you.
Yeah.
And like, sometimes we feel not as relatable to these people. You feel removed in your own experience and stuff. But it was such a moment. I mean, I saw her again and I stopped one day and I took a picture of her at first and I sent it to her sister and I was like, is this her? She was like, yeah. And I was like, holy shit, I'm right. I was right. I knew. And then I ended up like stopping one day at the 7-Eleven right across the street. She was walking by and I got out and said hi.
How was that?
Surprisingly easy.
Hmm.
Yeah. She's it was like, really.
How you been?
She goes, Amy? And I was like, wow. And she was sweet. She
what
was
you guys
just
talking about?
Sweet. There was a lot of chaos in that moment. Both my kids were there and like one of them got her foot caught in the seat belt. And then this woman, her dog was barking. And then she had someone else with her who turned out to be her son. And it was fast and a little chaotic, but I'm glad I did it. Like there was a part of me that was like, I guess I could just not, you know, and not say hi or whatever. But isn't that treating that person as if they're different or something?
Yeah.
And I was like, no, of course I'm going to speak to her. I mm-hmm. loved her.
Yeah.
A lot.
What do you think the the fork in the road for her to be in that position and you to be in this position was?
I have no idea.
Could be so many forks.
There are a lot of forks.
Yeah.
And then one fork leads to another.
And I think that the non-acceptance of that person is ultimately comes from a place of unacceptance of that aspect of yourself.
So
like, could you love you if you were poor? Could you love you if you were crazy? Could you love you if you were that? And you're like, no, no.
Yeah.
You're like, okay.
I put limits on that. I am conditional in my love.
Maybe do some work on that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Loving yourself unconditionally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because when there's that sensation of And this is obviously stuff that I'm like in process with.
Which is what?
Well, just in general, like almost everything that I'm saying, I by no means am saying in some like pedestalized, like echoing, like, okay, this is,
you I've know, got I've, it figured out, yeah, everyone.
No. This is the things of like, ideally, it would be great if my mind operated like this. Here's the general compass.
You know, I keep reminding myself
all of the bags of my bullshit that I'm dragging behind that.
Now you're not dragging.
General bags compass, of bags of bullshit. You can hear them clanking as I walk into the door. But that person, I mean, that part of yourself, if you can come into that place truly of having unconditional love for those around you, because they're, you know, they're like, it depends on what lens you're perceiving the world through. You know, there's more Ram Dass stuff. He talks about the
and I'm a big fan.
I love him very much. It's funny how people are almost more lovable when they die.
You know what I mean? I loved him when he was alive. I loved him for many years.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Once they're dead though, there's like
an iconic
something
status.
Happens.
Yes.
Something happens. Mm-hmm. You know?
Anyway. Okay, get back on track. What were you gonna say?
Sorry. I apologize. But so perceiving that when you're navigating the world, you perceive the world essentially through channels. There's different channels to perceive things through. The first channel would be kind of like the physically based channel. You know, I'm black, white, brown, Chinese, fat, bodybuilder, hot, you know, any of those things. I wear these types of clothes. I drive this type of car, you know, and this is like
external the
aesthetic, okay. aesthetic channel. Okay. I live in that place. Mm-hmm. And if I deeply live in that place with myself and that's what I perceive in others, you know, sometimes you can get around, like I'm sure you're familiar with that experience with somebody. It's very physically based. And then the next channel could be going into like the social hierarchy channel and like influence and power and kind of like those, that other storyline, that you go into like astrological channel where it's like, oh, I'm like a, you know, I'm a Leo or I'm a Capricorn. It's like mythological place.
Okay.
You know, and seeing like kind of more of this like spiritual myth, like, oh, I'm connected to the stars, you know, so I'm not just like abs and, you know, biceps and a car. Stars. I'm like a stardust. Mm-hmm. You know, and then you could go into another channel and you can flip through these in an instant. Mm-hmm. You go to another channel where it's like, oh, I'm kind of like connected to everything that, you know, in this room and, you know, Amy and Justin.
Quantum channeler.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, wow. It's almost like, you know, we're like one organism. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, okay, now we're going to like unicity channel.
Okay.
You know, and so you can flip between those different channels. And I think the reason I got so excited about Ram Dass and that, I kind of got off track. But I think the reason I was talking about that, why was I talking about that? This is the second time I did this in this conversation.
We did
I need more
track.
Nootropics or coffee. Maybe I had too much
caffeine
is the issue.
I'm off caffeine.
But anyways, I think that what I was eventually getting to was the, if you can come from a place of full acceptance and love for those around you, you know, and yourself and et cetera, I think what that does, that unconditional love, what that does is it grants much more freedom in your life. So if you think of like parenting, which you have, did you see you've two kids? Yeah. So my guess, you would be the expert on this. But there's, you know, there's like sciencey bits and research and what, if you create an environment where the children feel safe and loved unconditionally, then it grants them this subconscious permission to go out further and explore and be in the world. But if that initial root of feeling like, oh, if I do this, I won't be loved, I won't be accepted. If I do that, you know, it's like mom only loves me conditionally if, you know, or maybe there's no love at all.
Yeah.
You know, I just feel I feel unsafe at home.
Then you can't feel as free.
Mm-hmm. And so that's similar because we're all a bunch of kids. You know, we're adults, we're kids wearing adult costumes. We're all a bunch of children. If you can come from that place of instilling that unconditional sensation of love and acceptance for the homeless person and that part of yourself, which is completely possible, you don't know what's going to happen to your mind today, tomorrow, the next day. Mm-mm. No idea. Like the probability of you being insane and homeless is on the table. It's not off the table. serious, real talk. And so to come into that place of like, oh, like I can still love me. Mm-hmm. That's like, oh, okay, wow, okay, cool. All right. So what freedom does that grant me today? Mm-hmm. If I love me if, no matter what, and I love you if, no matter what, all of a sudden the whole room or this relationship, this container can all have, they can kind of have an exhalation. It's like, okay, my sphincters are a little bit less clenched to come back to what matters. Mm-hmm. It's good.
It's really good. And I hate that we have a hard stop today.
Oh, that's
we
fine.
Do have a hard stop.
Should we burn
stop.
Some more Palo Santo to
burn
seal
some
the
more,
container?
Yeah, seal the container.
Seal the container.
And is there any thought that you want to leave us with before you go? Anything that calls to your heart or you want to reiterate or you just want to leave on?
No, I don't think anything in particular.
Well, what you just said was really beautiful.
Yeah, that was fine.
And to me, that was fine. That'll do. That'll do. I don't know. I loved it. I love talking to you.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I did.
I appreciate that. Yeah. I enjoyed talking to you. You create a great space to,
thank
to
you.
Speak freely.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Burning the wood.
Burn the wood.
What about that?
All of it.
Burning the wood. You know, this is actually an antimicrobial, antibacterial.
I didn't know that.
No, that's like sage. A lot of the, so kind of like the stuff with, there's a convergence of new age wookiness. And like the Karl Popper sciencey bits, mm-hmm. like there is a meeting place there. And so when you're saging a room and you're saging out like energies and, you know, all
particles.
The things that make mm-hmm. some people kind of cringy, like, oh God, you're really going to sage the space underneath your fucking bed. Like, come on.
Yeah.
You know, what's happening there from being explained from a scientific perspective is that smoke actually acts literally as a cleansing device for the air. Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
When you see those, there's
more. Takes away the charged particles.
Yeah. There's more connection between new age kind of like vegan metaphysical reality and like hard backed Western analytical science than what we think. I'm not a vegan.
I am.
Are you vegan? Really? Really?
Mostly.
Whoa.
Why is that? Why?
Why are you vegan?
Because we have after, to, we have to stop. I know we got to wrap up, but because right. after the first time, actually I was after I read Eating Animals by Jonathan Safran Foer, but then I couldn't get enough protein. And then I did Bufo and 3 months later I had a Bufo reactivation and suddenly I quit drinking coffee and became a vegan and quit smoking.
Do you think you're better because of it?
No.
I think you're better than me?
That's the way that came off, actually. No, it just seemed to be right for me. I don't know. And I feel good.
Good.
So I just went with it. But that's not to say I don't eat meat every now and then.
Do you supplement? You like get B vitamins and
B12
creatine
and stuff. And yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Creatine?
No. Should I take that?
Get some creatine in there.
Get some creatine. Yeah. Anything else?
Folic acid.
I eat a lot of vegetables.
Good.
Yeah. So, yeah.
All right. What about regenerative farming? All right. We got to wrap this bitch up. Wrapping this bitch up.
Aaron, I love you. Thank you. Thank you for showing up and doing this.
Promote my book
and
or whatever, your, something.
Yeah. Oh, I do it in the intro and the outro. Don't even worry.
Get
yes.
The book.
The Align Method.
We've got programs and shit.
Everything is on alignpodcast.com.
Nothing that we talked about today has any relation to any of the stuff that I teach on the internet.
I know.
I teach people about like health and movement.
You do. And we probably should have got into that, but instead we had a philosophical discussion. And
that's good. Ultimately, it all comes back to that.
You know,
the physical, if you have back pain, shoulder pain, you know, whatever, knee stuff, ankle stuff, that's like the entrance point to have a broader conversation of thoughts and feelings and environmental conditions. And eventually maybe even like spirit, if you're like open to go that far into it. That's where I think that like the coalescence of all of those conversations where I find that's what I find to be the most interesting. Like, how does your physical postural expressions, how is that a representation of something deeper than just, you know, exercise and fitness? And
oh, I love that. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Anyways. And so everyone should follow you and your podcast.
Oh, I'm kind of joking about the self-promotion.
I want to lift up everything that you're doing because
raise it up
because you're good shit.
I appreciate that. I feel validated.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being here and just jumping in and doing this with me. I'm super grateful.
Of course. Thank you so much.
We do. Thank you. Cool. That's a wrap.
Over and out.
Okay, huge, huge thanks to Aaron Alexander who just walked out of here. And I mean, now I'm in such a good mood. Like, I just feel, I don't know, after that conversation. And yes, you know, he wrapped up at the end with what he does, which is tying movement into all this to make ourselves better and to unleash these things that we can think about and to free ourselves in so many ways. And I just so appreciate that about him. So humongous thanks to Aaron for the way that he showed up today. I loved every bit of that conversation. It was so much fun. So be sure and follow him. He's at Align Podcast, alignpodcast.com. And of course, you can pick up all his products. He's got bands and his book, Align Method, and which I have seen and it's beautiful. And so anyway, just big thanks to him. He's a badass. And I followed him for so long and it was just a real joy to get to sit here and listen to him and have a conversation with him. So thanks, Aaron, for the way he showed up. And then just to circle back to the beginning, how are you showing up for yourself in that manifestation space? And yeah, like he would say, it is new agey and all that. And you know what? Just with that gratitude. Speaking of showing up, I just want to say a gigantic thank you to all of you who showed up with ratings and reviews for the podcast on Apple Podcasts to win a 30-minute habit coaching session. I am just blown away by the incredibly kind reviews. And I just want to say a humongous thank you. And we do have a winner. The winner is S. Walsh asterisk. I think that's right. S. Walsh, thank you so much. This is such a beautiful review too. I'm going to read it. One of my all-time favorite podcasts. Amy's such a sweetheart with a gentle, beautiful soul. She's so real and down to earth. And the podcast touches on so many important subjects and works with such inspiring guests. I look forward to each of Amy's podcasts because I learn so much and take away valuable life lessons. Highly recommend her meditations that you can find on Instagram. They're the best. Thank you so much. I am super grateful and look forward to connecting with you. And to her, she just needs to email us. You can email me, Amy at Amy Edwards, or Tanner C at modernstoa.co. And then we can get the call booked. So anyway, huge thanks to her or him. I guess I don't know why I was assuming it was a her. It's her or him. S. Walsh, thank you so much. Okay, so also, I want to answer a question that I got, a semi-listener question that I got from social media. So recently I posted on social media and it resonated with a lot of people and it spoke to a lot of people. And it was a post about just kind of my life's trajectory and what I've done in the past, you know, few 10 years really. And if you missed it, it's up now at Real Amy Edwards. And it basically said at for what it's worth, at 38, I picked up a guitar. At 40, I wrote my first song. At 41, my first album came out. At 46, my first book was published. At 47, I started dating again for the first time in 20 plus years. At 48, I signed with a podcast network. Here I am. And 49 next month, the best is yet to come. So, this person, Jay, reached out to me to ask a question. And I just thought it was a really good question to answer here. And he said, so I just have a question. I'm 34. I'm struggling to get my life together and go in the right direction. What made you want to change your life around? And how did you realize you wanted to play guitar and sing and stuff so late in life? That's a great question because it makes it sound like I made this conscious decision, you know, to do all these things. And even in my post, it sounds that way. Like, oh, I picked up a guitar and I started singing, but it wasn't really like that. The thing that happened was I said yes, and I stayed open. And so to answer this question, I think the answer is, what is life showing you that you can take a risk and say yes to that seems scary? And that's not to say sometimes we just started ourselves, but this was something that just sort of happened. Some friends were like, hey, do you want to do this? And instead of being like, no, I don't play guitar. I did say that. I said, no, I don't play guitar. And they were like, we don't care. And so I was like, okay. And so I think life just hands us these things sometimes, like maybe somebody's saying something about a business opportunity. Maybe they're saying something about learning something new. Maybe something just comes in your field of vision and you think, huh, I'd really like to take that course or learn that or branch out in that way. And because 34 to me sounds really young, like you may not feel you have it together. And I haven't for a long time, but you say yes, and you do these things and you're not sure where it's leading, but you just keep opening up to it and keep opening up to life and learning. And then that's where the beautiful stuff happens. And pretty soon you look back and you go, wow, I've come a long way. And I'm so grateful that I took that risk. And maybe it forced me to redefine failure because I mean, yes, I wrote an album, but it's not like it was a commercial success or anything like that. You know, I had to reframe success and failure for myself. So it was a real gift because of that, because I learned so much. So Jay, I hope that answers your question. And anybody else that read that and was like, oh, she just made a change. No. And my book that I wrote that came out when I was 47, I worked on that for 12 years, y'all. 12 years. And I know that's daunting. And the children's book, 5 years. And if somebody had said, this is going to take that long, I probably would have been like, fuck that then. I'm not going to do it. But you know what? I didn't. You don't know how long it's going to take. You don't know what you're going to learn. You don't know when you're going to turn around at nearly 50 years old and go, hey, look at this list of stuff I did. That's cool. So I guess the answer is, don't worry too much about the right direction. Just go. And when something comes to you, be open enough to say, okay, I may fall flat on my face, but I'm still going to get back up. And it's really not a failure because I learned. And that's the beautiful thing. So I hope that helps and answers your question. And thank you, Jay. And thank you to you. You showed up. You're here. Thank you to Aaron, our guest today. So grateful for that badass. Be sure and follow him again, Align Podcast. And yeah, take those risks. Stay open. Show up. Show up for these things. Show up for yourself. It's a beautiful thing. And I love you so much. And congrats to S. Walsh. Reach out to us because I want to give you that habit coaching session. That sounds so fun. Is that weird? I think that sounds like a blast. So anyway, I love you so much. We have more contests to come and more ways to connect ourselves coming up soon. So until then, I'm wishing you just peace and love and health and wealth and light and happiness and all the good things to you and yours.
Thank you so much for listening. If you liked this show, please rate and review. It totally matters. And I encourage you to spread the love too and share this episode with a friend if you feel called. Find me and my newsletter sign up at amyedwards.com. And you can also connect with me on Instagram at @realamyedwards or in Clubhouse at @amyedwards or write to me. It's amy@amyedwards.com.